It is a real joy to be here. It's been such a privilege for me to connect with SDC over the years, both when I was a vicar of a number of churches, just learning from what God was doing here. And then since Tom's been vicar here, just our friendship, it's just been great just to connect again. And I love Tom because it just feels like we share a number of things in common. But one is that we take Jesus really seriously, but we don't take ourselves very seriously at all. And that for me is like a lesson in life. It's just that's how to live life. And there's a lightness in the Lord, but there's an incredible privilege of knowing him. And it was great last night. If you were here last night and what Wale brought, and I was like a proud dad because Wale was my intern in Leicester. We just had such an amazing time together. And then at the end of his internship, he's planning to go and be a banker. His family got big plans for him in finance. And I just said to him, I just think the Lord wants you to plant a church. And he screamed because 2 days before, somebody had rung him up and said, by the time you're 23, you're going to lead a church. And he'd laughed at them. And then he formed this church called Imprint. And he grew it in Leicester, and it grew to, well over 100 people. And then he planted another Imprint church in London. And they're just seeing God do amazing things there. And then they've planted again in London. And he was just a 22-year-old ordinary guy who was following the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit was saying was in him and was his call and his purpose. And it's, yeah, I just feel today and this weekend is all about us discovering who we are again in him and having a sense of what he might have for us. Just hope, expectation of what he might want to do in us. And Wale's just such a great example of that. As Luke said, I've written a few books in my time, and so just a couple of them just to highlight for you. If we put that on the screen, that would be great. There's this Send Me book, which is 14 stories of ordinary people who planted churches. And if you ever need encouragement, you just read one of these in like 10 minutes, and it just makes you smile that that's what Jesus can do with people, just when they step out in faith. Mission Shaped Living is 8 sessions. Don't run it as a course. I hate courses. But they maybe publish it like a course. But just ways of engaging with the missional call of God in a way that hopefully is spirit-led rather than just sort of a duty and a system and pressure. And so if you lead a small group and you think, actually, we could do with something to help us engage with that, then there's a leader's guide and a participant's guide. And then recently I wrote something called The Church of Tomorrow, which feels like a word for today of where the church is at and what God's doing. And they're on a table at the back, and all you have to do is take a picture of my bank details and send me some money. So all the prices are there, and they're all discounted for you. So the exciting thing is that all of that stuff is in me, and I just love talking about church planting. I love talking about mission and really trying to get people going. And as I came to this weekend, the Lord made it really clear, you're to say nothing about that, John. And I'm going, that's really costly, Lord, because that's the easy stuff. It's all there. I can just churn it out. It's great. And it's really good stuff. Honestly, that is a great book I've just written. Honestly, it really is. But I can't say anything about it because the Lord said no. And so, so as I come to you today, I really have a sense of the Lord bringing a word, and it comes from a passage. If we go to the Job passage on the screen, please. So Job 14. Do you ever come across a verse or a passage in the Bible where you think, I know I've read it before, I've read the Bible many times, and so I know I've read it, but I just don't think I've ever sort of encountered God in it, remembered it. And recently God led me to this passage, and I really felt that he was saying that it was for you as a church at this time. And so it's Job chapter 14, verse 7. At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. And so as I share this with you, I've never taught on this before, but I feel that what the Lord is saying is not any sense of me saying that God's going to cut you down or anything like that, but there is hope. That he's wanting to put in you a seed of hope for what he has for you. And if we imagine a church as a tree, and that he's saying that there is hope for you, STC, there's new life that I have for you. But the challenge in the passage is that the new life comes not by trying to hold on to the past and sort of resurrect the root system and try to work with what you already have, but the new life is coming in a new way and a fresh way. And the challenge of that is that we have to leave behind some stuff of the past in order to step into the new. And that's not easy for us as human beings. I think that God is doing this corporately with his church, that this is a time of reformation, of refounding his people on him again, of dismantling us in order to remantle us, clothe us again with what he has for us again. But I think there is something, and you have to test this, but the conviction for me in the spirit is there is something that he's saying to you personally as a church through this, that if we imagine a church represented by a tree, that he's saying there's something in the root system that has to be left behind. There's something with some depth in the depths, not just the surface stuff, but in the depths. There's something that of the soul that has to be recovered and renewed. And he's speaking that, as he always does, with absolute love and passion, and saying, I have so much more for you. I have fresh life. That you will bud again, that you will put forth shoots again, that there is hope for the future. But there's a process of working through what is happening within us and within you as a church in order to release what God has for you. So you have to test that. And in this passage, it says that in the old, as that begins to be left behind, as it dies, as it's ended, the way in which this new life comes into being is this beautiful phrase where it says that at the scent of water, it puts forth shoots like a plant. That's just a beautiful phrase, isn't it? That just at the smell of the water, and you know that if you go into a forest and you begin to walk through it, you can begin to sense that there's a river because the atmosphere changes. There's moisture in the air. There's a new scent around the river. And I think in the nation, we're beginning to see a sense of there's a fresh move of the Spirit, and there's just a scent of it. We don't see it yet in its fullness, but there's a scent. And it's causing us to have hope that, oh, Lord, you're moving again. You're doing something fresh again. And that's what I think this weekend is for you, is that he's just releasing a scent of the fullness of what you're going to step into. That there is a river coming. There is a river to step into. There's a river to come closer to. And he's saying, I'm going to start to just cause you to come alive again, because there's going to be a scent of what I'm doing amongst you this weekend. In order for that to happen, we have to prioritize his presence. If we go on to the next slide. And I know from what we're going to share tomorrow, that's a theme that you're looking at on Sunday mornings. But if I'm right in interpreting this passage that's saying that what causes life to come is that we can put down roots into the river, that we have to learn to prioritize his presence, to become dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Now, what I find in churches as I go around the nation, and particularly churches like here, is that you guys know the Holy Spirit. He's welcome, you seek him, he's there. But what I find is that we're still trying to recover a relationship with the Holy Spirit that allows him to be right at the forefront, to be the source, the center, the place that we and the person that we depend upon, rather than just somebody that is in and around what we do. And what I see, and in terms of the church in the nation, we've been in the Church of England, we've been in 70 years of decline. That's the truth. And, I have to put my hand up. That happened on my watch. I've been a vicar for 27 years. That's on me. And I have to say, Lord, have mercy on us. And I go around to bishops and I'm trying to help them through change and process and see what God might be doing. And I say to these bishops, I say, we've been in 70 years of decline. Do you think we should try something different? I don't know. Maybe. I know it's a little bit risky, might be a little bit soon. Maybe we need another 70 years of this experiment and then we'll know that actually it's not really working. Maybe we should try something different. I don't know. But for us who know the Holy Spirit, I think that the danger is we think that we have got the right pattern, the right shape, the right form, and therefore what we think we know prevents us from learning what he wants to teach us. And what I've seen in the churches as I look at them is that we love to build and manufacture church and ask God to fill what we built. The phrase that I use is the Western industrial church complex. That in the West, what we do is we've built our economy on mechanization, on systems, on factories, on machines that can produce things. And we pull a lever and we adjust this and we think that we can create something. And the danger in our human dependency is that we take that into the church. And we think that we can build a system and we can sort something and that we can manufacture church, structure it. And of course we want the presence of God, But that comes after we've done what we're doing. And it's never independent of him. It's in prayer, it's in relation to scripture. But somehow it's not dependent upon him. And this is really subtle stuff, friends. But it is about coming to a place of dependency. And the thing that really gets me is that if I think that I can build and run my life and then I ask God to bless what I'm doing, then I'm really saying that I can do it better than him. And it's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it, when you think of it like that, that actually Jesus, as we've been singing, has won everything for us. He's poured out his Holy Spirit upon us. And yet we still think that the greatest chance of success we have is if I do what I'm going to do, rather than being absolutely dependent on him. And it's not that when he begins to lead and we are independent on him, it doesn't require us to step out and to work. And we labor, as Paul says, with his mighty power. It's us working with him. But there's an ordering of this that puts him first rather than second. And so the place that I think he's in, as we think of this tree with a root system that's got to put down new roots, is that we have to be in a place of repentance. Where we just say, some stuff's built up, Lord, that's not of you. Some patterns have got fixed in us that aren't of you. Some ways of thinking and doing stuff that are not of you. And quite often they start with him, but they become fixed in us. And we need him to set us free from them and to put down new shoots and new ways of allowing him to lead us with him at the forefront. There's a humility that is required. There's, in that humility, the thing that I talk about all the time is I don't know. I'm really committed not to being an expert in the past, but to being a learner for the future. And if God is saying, what you've done in the past has not been the fullness of who I am and what I want my church to look like, I have to lay down that expertise I've built up in the past and say, actually, that served you. It had the heart of you. It was all that I could offer you. But I now realize that it's not what you are calling me to in the fullness. And in order for me to step into the new, I have to humble myself and say, Lord, I lay that down. So that we don't cling on to the sense of self-confidence and the sense of knowing how to do this that allows us to feel I'm an expert in this, and so I feel really much safer there. And we're willing to step into that vulnerable place and say, I don't know. And so I moved into this village, as I told you, and I know nothing about village life. And Jesus led us there so clearly with a prophetic word over the house and everything. So we're living there, and I'm walking around this village, tearing down demonic strongholds over it as I walk my dog, praying for the Holy Spirit to come, declaring the Lordship of Jesus, just the normal stuff that we all do when we walk around, I hope. And then saying to God, I don't know how to reach these people. I don't know how to see you touch people who are so wealthy, so successful, so as if they've got it all together. How are you going to break into this? And I'm just walking around. And two things that happen. One is I decide that I'm going to say, Lord, what do I know how to do? I don't know how to do very much, but I know how to heal the sick and plant churches. So I'm saying, Jesus, it'd be great if we could do that in this village. I don't know how to do anything else. Could we do that together? I'd love to see that happen. And I hear that the vicar is ill, and I haven't gone to this church because it was so bad. Honestly, I just couldn't go. So I've gone to a neighboring church in another town. But I hear that the vicar in the church is ill and that he's going to have an operation. And so I go and see him. I've seen him before, just to be friendly. And I said, do you need any help with your services while you're off? Because I've been praying, who's sick? If you heal somebody, Jesus, then people will start to notice that you're alive. And so I'm thinking, maybe you'll heal the vicar. That would be amazing. So I go and see him and say, have you any help with the services? He said, oh, that would be great. And I agreed to do a few services. And then I said, has anybody prayed for you? He said, no. I said, could I pray for you? He's very, very traditional vicar. And I said, okay, so I'm going to just lay my hand and you pray for you. And I'm just praying for the Holy Spirit to heal him. And I ask him, is anything happening? And he's going in for a throat operation. He says, it feels like warm liquid is pouring down my throat. I go, come on, Jesus, that's amazing. So I say to him, it feels like God's at work in you. So could I carry on praying? And as I start to pray, I feel God saying, I want to fill him with my Holy Spirit. I'm going, Lord, this is not going to go well. So I close my eyes. I literally, as I'm praying for him, I'm looking away and I'm praying very loudly in tongues and going, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. And when I look back, he is out of it in the Holy Spirit on my sofa. He come about, I don't know, 5 minutes later, he comes round. He said, what was that? I said, that's the Holy Spirit. He said, that's amazing. I wish I could feel like this every day. I said, you can. He leaves. Half an hour, he comes back. He says, John, you'll never guess what happened. I met my enemy in the village. The person who's caused me more trouble than anybody else since I've been here, just against the church, against me. When I met him, it was like he was my best friend. And I felt peace going from me into him. And he said, God is doing something. We've got to work together, John. I said, what would you like to do? He said, we've got to reach the village. And out of that, we've then started a new congregation that's been led by somebody who's in the village who I then discover is why I'm there, because she's been praying for 2 years, God do something in my village. So I'm just giving you a little picture of how the Holy Spirit leads us. Just one more story before we go on. I'm walking my dog and I'm praying for connection. And whenever I meet somebody, I write down their name and their dog's name. And I pray, I lay my hand on that list and I pray for God to move in their lives. It's got a great title to it. It's called The Village People. But I see this woman on the other side of the field from me as I'm walking down this little track, and I feel the Holy Spirit say, run. I'm going, what? And I realized if I ran, I could meet her at the gate. So I thought, I think you want me to meet her. So I ducked down behind the hedge, tell my dog, we're running. So we're running. He's very confused. I never run, unlike Tom. He's very good at running. I hate running. So I get to the gate. I turn around the corner. I say, oh, nice. So surprised to see you. And she said, oh, nice to meet you. Who are you? And I said, I've moved into the village. And she tells me who she is. Her name's Tracy. She runs the pub. And so that's a nice contact. And she says, does your wife like craft? And my wife hates craft. I say, my wife loves craft. And so she said, oh, we run a craft group. And so she says, I'll drop an invitation round to your wife. So I go back home. I said, darling, you're going to craft. And she said, what on earth is going on? She goes to this craft group. This craft group is the key that opens the door to the whole village. And when we start our new afternoon congregation, and we start that, Bridget's talking to these other women in the craft group, and one of them says, do you need any music in this craft group? And she said, yeah, we haven't got any musicians. And she said, I'll come and play my guitar. And no disrespect in terms of age, she's about 70, and she's not very good on the guitar. But Chris comes along. And because she doesn't know the song, she comes to craft group every week, and she says, what's the song for Sunday? And Bridget has given it to her. And she starts playing Be Still for the Presence of the Lord to the craft group, because she's learning the song with Bridget so she can get better at it. And they're hearing about this new congregation, and then they start coming to the new congregation. And then when we go to, there's the local church that we also go to, has Steve Legg, a magician and comedian who's a Christian who preaches the gospel. We take 25 people to see Steve Legg from the craft group and their families, because we've formed community, all because the Holy Spirit said to me, run. And it just opened up everything in the village. Why would we try and do stuff independently when we have the one who created everything, who knows everything, who knows everything in the lives of the people around you, and has put his presence and power in you, and he is available to us, but we have to learn how to follow him and allow him to work in our lives. That passage talks about new routes into the river. If we go on to the next slide. Friends, there is a river. The thing that has taught me all the way through my life is there's a logic in this, which is there is more. We haven't come to the end of him yet, friends. We just haven't come to the end. What he's already done in your life, there's no sense of condemnation or sense of that there should be more. There's just an invitation. There's more. And in order to step into the more, we have to put these roots down. It's all the way through Scripture, isn't it? It's the tree in Psalm 1 rooted into the river, on the banks of the river. And through being in the river, it's planted by the streams of water, and it gives its fruit. Psalm 23, he leads me beside quiet waters and restores my soul. Ezekiel 47, that deepening river, and then the trees on its banks, and it refreshing the salt water and the leaves of the trees for the healing of those around them and for the fruitfulness of those trees. And Psalm 46, a river at the heart of the city of God that makes its people glad. And then finishing the story of the whole of this creation, Revelation 22, the river of the water of life, the tree of life, fruitful, and leaves for the healing of the nations. Friends, there's a river. There's hope. And he's just waiting for us to root ourselves afresh in him. And don't let the fact that you think you've got it already prevent you from discovering the new and the fresh that he has for you. In understanding the river, I think that one of the things when we think about us as a church, that the way that we can avoid the mechanistic manufacturing of church is to understand that leadership within church has a role, but that role is like the banks of a river. It creates a shape and a form and a direction within which there is the freedom for you to discover the call of God and to discover how you are to live and work in relationship with other people. And so that might be values, it might be a sense of vision and direction. And what I'm seeing in the work of Myriad is as we help just ordinary people start new church communities, there is just such a variety in God, such a beauty when he takes hold of a person and he releases their life and their creativity and their gifts. And it just forms in different ways, and it's not programmatic and it's not a system, but it's the work of the Spirit in an understanding that we're called to mission and we're called into more of him. And so we have to learn how to be in the river. And on the next slide, we're in the river. And then the thing in Scripture is we become the river. So John 7, he says that anyone thirsty, come to me and drink, and streams of living water will flow from within them, which is the Holy Spirit that they hadn't yet received. So we are in the river, and then we become the river. And if we use the passage from Job as a framework for that, we then discover that mission is much less like I've got to do X, Y, and Z. There are good practices to practice and things to grow in confidence in, but it's much more the sense that we carry the fragrance of Jesus into the world that we're in. But we can only do that if we are already in the river. For us to carry the scent of water into the world, we have to be in the river. Now, Steph is a member of my team, and Myriad, she lives here in Sheffield. And I was so encouraged by her this morning because I'd asked her to prepare a bit of a word on the themes that I was preparing to bring something from herself into all of this. And she came to me this morning and she said, John, I've got lots of really good things to say, but the Lord wouldn't let me say them. So I go, that's good, because he wouldn't let me say them either. But she said, I brought this sense of the Spirit, of the Word. And so she's just going to bring a word that connects with this being in the river and then going out into the world. So if you bring your frog word, Steph.
Before that, I just want to say, like, when I was praying, I just felt so many things that God wants to release in this morning. And I want to encourage you not just to wait for the ministry time, but just to catch this in the atmosphere. As we're speaking, like John speaking, just start to get this, you know, because it's available. So when I was praying, God showed me a frog. And I was like, okay, what do you mean? What do you want to say about the frog? And he said, there are some people here that, as like the frog, they can live in the water, but also in the land. And sometimes this is a gift that you have, that you can navigate in different contexts. But God is calling you for this season to be really specific, to choose just to be in the water. Will be a time that you can go to the land, but as John is preaching, like, you need to be in the water and get the sense to be wet, to be in the river, to become the river. And will be a time that you can be in the land and do other things.
And also just share that word about the bank account as well.
Yeah, this is kind of fun because I was like, Holy Spirit sometimes speaks to me in really funny pictures. So he said, you need to say that. If you have like £1 million in your account, and God will give you, let's say like that, God will give you £1 million, and he will say like, for you to access this, you need to become friend with that person. So that person becomes your password, your access to this money. He was saying to me, like, this person is Holy Spirit. The £1 million in your account is the kingdom, is the power, the authority, is everything that Jesus already gave to us. So we really need to become friends of Holy Spirit to access this. And when I was talking to John this morning, I was like, sometimes I don't understand why we don't do that. You know, like, because Holy Spirit was with God and Jesus They are three in one, Holy Trinity. They were in the beginning when God created everything. So if we can access someone that knows everything for the past, the present, and the future, why are we not doing this? So I'm just sharing this as an encouragement, because we have this like available to us.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's great. So we're in the water, we're in the river in order to become the river, to carry the fragrance, the scent of water into the world. So if we just think about fragrance, I wonder what you smell of. Before I did vicaring, I worked for Harrods in Knightsbridge, and there was a number of times when I used to have staff members that really smelt badly. And I'd have this little way of dealing with it, where I'd have a bottle of deodorant in the office, and I'd invite them in, and I'd just say, "Do you know what one of these is?" And they'd feel a little uncomfortable. I said, "Do you ever use one of these?" And then I'd ask them about their showering experience. It's very, very awkward, but I was just trying to be help them to realise that they carried a fragrance, and it wasn't a good fragrance. It really wasn't, and that wasn't good for our customer service experience. But we carry a fragrance, but the scripture tells us we carry the fragrance. And we're called to carry the scent of water, the scent of God's presence. But if we haven't dealt with stuff, if we haven't done that cleaning out, if we haven't been filled, if we're living with mindsets or attitudes or hurts or emotions that are not of him, they leak. And before we step in and say, "Lord, fill me and send me," there's a real sense of God just saying, "I want to deal with what's in us. And I want to deal with what's in you. Because I don't want you to carry that into the world." Because we know that when we carry that, that's what hurts people. It's not helpful for people. And we can allow the Lord to form his character, his fruit in us instead. So we need to understand. But the joy of the understanding of fragrance is it's not about what we do. It's about us being present in a place and releasing what's in us. And sometimes that's something where he calls us to speak. Sometimes it's something where he calls us to act in a particular way. But even beyond that, we carry his presence, and people, it says, will come alive at the scent of water. Now, what that requires, onto the next slide, is proximity. We have to be close to people. Now, I think that what Wally was talking about was so important last night in terms of our love for one another. And I had this moment of revelation about one of the verses he read out in John 13, verse 35, where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this will people know that you're my disciples, by the way you love one another." And we were seeing people love one another last night and encourage each other in karaoke and having fun together, but nobody saw it, friends. And the thing that I realized was, where does the world ever see me love my Christian brothers and sisters? Because we've ended up in this separateness and in our systems and our programs that are really good for us. And we'll often love them. We'll do our food banks and our kids' ministry and stuff like that. But they'll never see Jesus at the center of our community. And what I'm working on with Myriad is, how do we create these little communities of God's people in the midst of other people, where they see us and they see there's something distinctly different about these people. They're carrying the scent of something different because they're loving one another, which is why what Wally shared last night was so important. We love one another, and then we start to do it in different places and in different ways, and people start to get included in that, and they start getting healed up and coming alive and budding because they're in amongst the presence of God because of the way we're loving one another in proximity with them. And so the questions we ask the Holy Spirit are, who are you calling me to? Where have you put me? What are you wanting me to do? I wake up every day asking, where do you want me to go, Lord? What do you want me to do? Asking for a name. Normally, the only thing I do when he gives me a name is I just say to that person, how are you? It's a really profound question. I'm just trying to love them. And then, not only who am I called to, but who am I called with? Who's God put you with? What's the mix? We heard the testimony at the beginning of the day of, I think I'm meant to be with some other people. I'm meant to have different relationships and include others in that. And in our little community in Bledlow, we've got this group of five of us that have come together, really different people, different ages. And we formed this afternoon community where we have food. And I think that's the other thing. There's a real anointing on just eating with people, sharing lives with people, doing that within church, but also out there, and including people in our homes and our lives, just in a natural way, not a programmatic way. And we're doing that in the village. And Chris, who played the guitar at the beginning of the year, we're doing Leaving It Behind. You can be forgiven. Jesus allows us to be forgiven, and we can make a fresh start. And we've probably got about 20 people there who don't follow Jesus in this little community. And we're doing a shredder because we've got kids now. And there's never been any kids in this church for decades. We've now got children in this church community. And we're saying, if we write down something we want to be forgiven for or leave behind and put it in the shredder, the kids will love that. So we're doing that as just an activity. Chris, 70-year-old guitar-playing Chris, puts her paper in the shredder and the Holy Spirit falls on her. And she's weeping. Because for the first time, she's realized she could be forgiven for stuff she's carried for decades. That only happens for Chris because we've created a little community that she can be part of in her village in a way that makes sense to her to be part of it. So who are you called with and who are you called to? And it's about just finding those places where you can release the fragrance, the love of Jesus with other people. Not in a programmatic way, so I don't want you to start on, oh, we've got to get a plan, we've got to do that. I want us to start this morning on, we've got to step into the river again. And then let the river flow, become the river, and let it lead you. So would you stand with me and we're going to pray.